Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Campus Book Mart is the one and only stop for the real Southern Miss fan. From hats to sweaters and even jerseys, Campus Book Mart has you covered with all the essentials for the Southern Miss football season. With sizes from toddler to large and in charge, there is no reason to shop anywhere else. Call 601-261-9690 or visit campusbookmart.net. Campus Book Mart on Hardy Street across from USM in Hattiesburg.
Free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, it's TGIF Friday, our favorite day of the week. Welcome to the Super Talk Eagle Hour. We're broadcasting from the Southern Bancorp studio here in Hattiesburg. Bob, Kelly, Dima, full crew here today. Talk a little high school football later in the show. Going to, of course, preview the game tomorrow afternoon between Southern Miss and Louisiana Monroe. But we're going to kick off today's show by, first of all, thanking Dickie's Barbecue Pit for sponsoring the segment. Great place to take your family for a weekend meal that we guarantee you you'll enjoy. Let's go to New Orleans. Patrick McGee, sports editor of the Times-Picayune, joins us now. And, well, Patrick, I don't want to start off Friday with bad news, but you just shared some bad news with me about the New Orleans Saints.
Yeah, it's I guess it's a couple of days ago. It was kind of a surprise. I mean, once Derek Carr got injured Sunday, it was an oblique injury, and he seemed to be pretty much in discomfort after the game, but you had no idea how long he might be out, if he might be out at all. Then it got out the next day that he's going to be out multiple weeks with the oblique injury. And at first, everybody kind of, well, I guess it's Haener, because Haener's been number two on the depth chart, and he came in for Carr Monday night whenever Carr left late. So you're thinking it's Haener. But then there's a little bit of word leaked out. Well, Rattler's going to get a good look also. And by Wednesday, Dennis Allen came out and said, you know, Rattler's the starter. And it was kind of, it took everybody a little bit by surprise, because Allen's typically a cautious guy who doesn't like to give away a lot, you know, during the course of a week. He, you know, he expected probably wait till Saturday at least to kind of make it known that Rattler's going to be the starter. But obviously, I think Rattler's maybe the guy that can kind of give him some juice. He's got that swagger. That's what I'm thinking. Obviously, Rattler's got that strong arm, and, you know, it was kind of an up-and-down preseason for him. The good news for Saints fans is that I thought Rattler did make progress through the preseason, because he started rough and was a little bit up and down, but I thought, you know, at least it seems like he's learning as he goes. So, you know, it's interesting. I was surprised to see them go ahead and go with Rattler, but that he'll be the starting quarterback on Sunday against the Buccaneers in New Orleans.
Yeah, what's interesting about the Saints to me, and I was talking to this with one of our friends on the show, Charlie Luttrell, they don't have what seems to me like a wide receiver one. You know, you got Olave. I don't think they view it in that role than Shaheed. But where are they looking around to see? I mean, I know Devontae Adams was discussed. Mm-hmm. Are they looking around to see if they could add some pieces for Rattler in the wide receiver group?
Yeah, I mean, at this point, with Carr being hurt, I am pessimistic that they're probably pursuing that as much as they were previously. Not that they, you know, they may still be interested in Adams. You know, I don't know. But, you know, this is a different situation than it was a week ago. You know, they were 500. Carr's healthy. Carr and Adams have a good relationship. Played together. And, you know, I at this point, I'm kind of skeptical, but you know, to start the week or late last week, it was reported that, you know, the Saints were the most aggressive or just most interested in Adams trading for him. So, no, I mean, I think they see Olave as their number one, Shaheed kind of as a 1A, you know, or a 1B, whatever you want to call it. And outside of that, they just need a third option. The tight ends really haven't been that productive at all this year. And so you really do need another option in the passing game. But at this point, if you're kind of like, well, we got to go with Spencer Rattler as our starting quarterback, Maybe you put him out there for a week and say, well, you know, if we win this game and he goes out there and lights it up, maybe we can be aggressive and go after Adams. But right now, I don't think, you know, I'm a, count me as a skeptic.
Were you shocked at the play by the defense against Kansas City on Monday night?
No. They were kind of bend but don't break. They just kind of wore down. That defense was on the field for a long time.
Right.
So I think they just kind of wore down late. I thought they played fine, all things considered. The offense had some mistakes here or there. They just weren't as productive as they needed to be and hang with a team like the Chiefs.
Man, based on last night's results with the 49ers beating the Seahawks, the West Division seems wide open now. And lo and behold, when you look at the NFC South, here come the Atlanta Falcons. What this division now, wide open, other than Carolina.
Yeah, Carolina's completely out of the picture. But, yeah, everybody knew Atlanta was going to be talented. You just, kind of like the Saints, you really didn't know what was going to happen until they got out there. So the Saints start fast and the Falcons start slow and all of a sudden they come on, you know. The NFL is a weird league and you just don't know what's going to happen from week to week. And right now Atlanta's the hot team. We'll see where that stands 2 weeks from now. But, yeah, Atlanta with Kirk Cousins, as long as he's in there and healthy and playing well, that the Falcons have a chance to really beat anybody. Yeah. So the Falcons are a talented squad. Not really surprised they're in this position.
He really is an elite quarterback, isn't he, Patrick? That doesn't, I think, get the credit that he deserves.
Yeah, I mean, he can be. I've been fairly, I've liked Kirk Cousins throughout his career. I think he's a pretty good quarterback. Some people like kind of nail him as a system guy, as always throwing to good receivers with the Vikings, this and that. No, I think the Cousins had a fairly lengthy career, and he's been consistently good throughout.
Right. Well, I'm going to tell you what, guys. If Christian McCaffrey gets healthy after watching San Francisco last night and they could get him back in the lineup, you're looking at another San Francisco Kansas City Super Bowl.
I don't know if I buy that, Bob. But the team that's really been a surprise, the Falcons have been a surprise. Your old Washington Commanders.
Oh, stop!
No, I'm serious.
They're legit.
Yeah, the Cowboys aren't as good as everybody thought they were. But Patrick, I want to ask you about Kamara.
So wait a minute, so who are you saying is better than San Francisco?
I'm just saying, I don't think
the Commanders are better in San Francisco. Oh. I mean, if you look at what Jaden Daniels done, what's the record, 4-1 right now?
Yeah, 4-1.
And it might wind up being the 49ers. I just don't think it's going to be a runaway, you know?
Well, yeah. I don't mean a runaway, no. I just think with McCaffrey back, I mean, Patrick, they looked pretty strong last night without him. And
yeah, I didn't get to watch that game. But, no, you plug McCaffrey in there at running back, they're one of the best offenses in the league.
And that kid can play quarterback they've got from Iowa State, Kelly. He's good.
Yeah, and you know, but back on the Saints, as good as everybody has known that Kamara is, I think even he's been a surprise a little bit this year as to how good he's been. Patrick, what do you think?
He's a great running back.
Yeah, I mean, he's been good, and he's been playing banged up. I think he's got another – he was having ribs. He's got cracked ribs, I think, and now he's got an injured hand that he's probably going to have to play through. You know, Kamara's a tough guy and probably been underrated, been playing behind a bad offensive line the last few years in a bad system. And now he's in a better system with a banged-up offensive line, and he is more productive and – it was kind of tough for him to get going too much against the Chiefs. But if Kamara is put in a position to succeed, he's going to succeed.
Well, they've got the Buccaneers this Sunday. How do you see that game coming out?
Probably, you got to go with the Buccaneers considering stability at quarterback and everything else. Rattler, maybe surprises me, but I'm not terribly optimistic.
Patrick, the Bucs are a pretty solid football team, aren't they?
Yeah. Mayfield, I think, has kind of found a place that where he just needs to stay.
Yeah, I agree.
They're good across the board. They've got a good defense. Todd Bowles is a good defensive mind. As long as Mayfield's in there, he's got Mike Evans to throw to. It's a solid team. In the end, it wouldn't surprise me to see the Buccaneers come out on top at the end in the division.
Hey, before we let you go, what did you make of the sudden firing of the New York Jets head coach? That sort of surprised me.
I was surprised also. I guess they got two wins on the board now, and I guess they're just getting impatient. They they brought in Aaron Rodgers. They, felt like they had a really talented roster, and it's just not going as well as they should. I don't think firing him is probably the answer. But I don't know. I don't know the dynamics of that staff, but we'll see what happens.
All right. Is your optimism still high for New Orleans to have a good year, or do you, is this just
a terrible blow? No.
Is that no?
No. Well, no, I mean, just with Carr out of the picture, and, you know, he's been fairly good at times. He'll make a mistake here or there, but he's been so good on the deep toss here, him and Rashid. If you put Carr behind a healthy offensive line and have, you know, rest of the pieces in place, the Saints only have one loss on the record right now, you know? So
that's true.
I feel that I owe the Saints Nation an apology. Since the death of the Redskins, I have become a Saints fan. I watch them every weekend, and I can see that the Redskin disease I suffered from for 30 years is beginning to have an effect in New Orleans, Patrick. So for whatever degree I'm responsible for this, I apologize.
Yeah. Why is it, Bob, that every team you cheer for goes straight to the crapper every time?
I guess that's why you and I are friends. Let me remind you, you're a Cincinnati Bengal fan, a Golden Eagle, and a Detroit Tiger fan.
My Tigers are hanging in there, hanging in there.
Help him, Patrick. There's no help for Kelly Sander, Patrick.
I've been on this show for a while. He hadn't listened to me once, so I don't think he's going to start.
He doesn't listen to anybody, Patrick.
Who's on the phone? Who are we talking
to? Thanks, buddy. We appreciate you. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, thanks, guys.
Patrick McGee, everybody. I love my visits every week with the professor.
Oh, yeah, you look, because everybody roasts me every time we get on this show.
Remind me to tell you what the assistant baseball coach said to him while you were gone, Damon. It was priceless.
Yeah, and to that assistant coach, you realize this means war.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
All right, this segment is sponsored by Campus Book Mart on Hardy Street. Time to start doing a little Christmas thinking, and that's where you want to go if you got a Golden Eagle on your Christmas list. Next time you're down there, please tell Miss Kathleen the guys from the Eagle Hour said hello. All right, don't forget about the Super Talk Eagle Hour podcast. You can hear it every day. Apple, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, YouTube. Or you can tell Alexa or Siri to play the Super Talk Eagle Eye. I got to tell you what, Kelly, it takes some real gazongas on your part to criticize my teams when you are a Cincinnati Bengal fan, an Iowa State fan, and a Golden Eagle.
The Iowa State Cyclones, by the way, you guys are 5-0 and are ranked 11th in the country. Just for the, and that hasn't happened since 1977, my sophomore year.
See, I'm the jinx, though. Even like last night, what do? Because of my buddy Kelly, I'm going to watch the Detroit Tigers, and I'm going to pull for them because I've learned, you know, they're a bunch of nobodies that don't get all the big
money.
What happens?
They lost.
I could tell you several Ohio State stories.
Speaking of which, as we hear from Charlie Brown's teacher once again, that game five between Cleveland and Detroit has been moved up to 12 o'clock noon tomorrow because of some of the big college football games this weekend. So game five, Cleveland and Detroit moved
all the Cleveland noon tomorrow. All the Cleveland Guardians fans are watching the big game Saturday night out there in Autzen Stadium.
The Ohio State.
That's a big game.
Which is one of our games we're going to – by the way, you talked
about – Ohio State playing this week?
Oregon.
By the way, you were
talking – are they going to play a real Division I team?
It's like the biggest game in – I think Oregon history. Wow.
And you were talking about it takes some gazongas. Now, I know where my oblique is. But
Stop it. Even though it's Friday.
Okay.
Don't get us in trouble. Okay. All right. We're what? We're 24, 25, about 28 hours away, 27 hours away from Monroe, Southern Miss. Guys, I'm going to just tell you right now. I'm going out on a limb right now. I just got a gut feeling. the Golden Eagles are going to win tomorrow.
One of our game
We're about to pick it here in a minute. So
let's get to them.
I'll remind everyone of the standings. Bob Geddes in first place with 49 points. Kelly Sanders is in second place with 47, and I'm in third place with 45 points. We're going to get right to it right now here on the Eagle Hour for Super Picks Week 7, if I can scroll to it. Good grief. Okay. Old Dominion taking the road at Georgia State. Georgia State's a 1.5-point favorite. The over-under is 54.5. Kelly, who do you see coming out of there?
Old Dominion wins it outright by a score of 27-24. Bob Geddes, I know you want Georgia State out of the league.
No, it's Georgia. Yes, that is right, Georgia State. I thought you meant Georgia Southern. I like Georgia Southern. No, I agree with Kelly. I'm going to go 28-7.
Wow, 28-7.
Let me remind you who's in first place before you say, wow.
That's going to be a reigning theme this segment.
I think it was the point spread that he was wowing about.
Yeah. Okay, Old Dominion 31, Georgia State 28 for me.
Okay, so we've all got the road team.
Got the road team there. Arkansas State taking the road at Texas State. Texas State's a 13.5-point favorite. The over-under is 65.5.
Texas State wins the game fairly easily. I'm going 28-7, and it'll be the first of two consecutive losses for Arkansas State.
Oh, a little preview to next week.
Yes. I'm going to take Texas State 31-21, so Arkansas State covers, and I just don't think it's going to be as high scoring as everybody thinks it is. So another good bet would be to hammer the under on that game.
Yeah, I'm with you, Kelly. I got 24-10. So I'm actually going to say 24-11. 24-11. So that's that way Arkansas State gets the points, but I'm still under because it's 13.5-point spread. That's a 13-point margin. So there you go.
Wow.
App State at Louisiana. Now, Kelly, I was surprised at this line. 10 to the Cajuns at home against the Mountaineers. Over under 65. You got the Cajuns covering that.
You're surprised that it's only 10? No, I'm asking.
So, no, I think it should be closer.
Do you? I don't.
Really?
I don't. I think Louisiana's going to handle them pretty easily.
You know what's funny about this is, and I'll let you get your pick in a second, but App State was like people were falling over their knees at Sunbelt Media Day.
Yeah, they were. They were. But and especially with now the hurricane.
A lot on the mind.
Yeah, Helene has come through. Unfortunately, they're a mess right now. I've got the Cajuns winning 30-17. That's another one where I would bet the under. I don't think it's going to be as high scoring as they think.
I like the Cajuns 34-20.
All right. I'm going to go App State. 31-24 over Cajuns. So
you're trying to make a run.
No, I got to get something back.
He's looking to fall farther.
31-24 App State. All right, Marshall at Georgia Southern. Georgia Southern's a 1-point underdog. The over/under is 60.
I like Georgia State to get
Southern,
after
Georgia Southern.
Georgia Southern to get after what's that, Kelly?
Get after that.
Yeah, I like them 24-14.
Paulson Stadium in Statesboro will be rocking. Georgia Southern wins it outright 34-31.
I'm going to go Marshall 21-20 over Georgia Southern.
You're really trying to catch me, aren't you?
We don't want Marshall to look good on the road because they're coming to Hattiesburg this year.
All right, number 2 Ohio State at number 3 Oregon. Oregon's a 3-point underdog. The over-under is 54.
Bob, if this weren't for money and for charity, I might say something else, but I have to take the Ohio State University 35-24.
Ah, double-digit win.
Well, we don't know because they haven't played a Division I school yet, have they?
They haven't played a Division III school.
Oh, yeah, I know. But I guess Ohio State. You know, the West Coast teams seem a little soft to me.
Yeah, I agree. I agree.
I like Ohio State, maybe 27-14.
Yeah, I think Ohio State's physicality on the line is going to win the game. I'm going to say 26-17, Ohio State.
I don't think teams like Oregon match up well with big old bruising.
Yeah, it's a welcome to the Big Ten for Oregon.
Welcome to big boy football.
That's right. All right, we'll pick it. Here we go. Southern Miss on the road at ULM. ULM's a 7-point favorite. The over-under is low at 41. Kelly, start us off.
Even as low as that under is.
You still under it?
I'm still taking the under because Southern Miss's offense just has not proven that it can do much consistently, and Monroe's defense has been what has helped that team be so good so far. I've got the Warhawks 24, the Eagles 10.
Ooh. Hell.
Wow.
And again, it's just if I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong. God knows.
No, this is a good weekend, guys. Listen to me. They're going to pull this out. The Golden Eagles are going to win this game 17-13.
So I got 17-13 ULM, and I am under the 41 as well. And really what I think it boils down to is, can Southern Miss's offense make the plays necessary to win the football game? And I'm with Kelly. They haven't shown it to me that they can do it yet. Now, do I think they can do it on Saturday? Absolutely. But they haven't shown yet that they are able to get those wide receivers involved, the quarterback involved, the running game involved. And this is a really, really good defense they're going up against on homecoming. I think ULM wins the game 17-13.
And the reason I've got ULM scoring that many points is because they're going to take a page out of the Louisiana playbook. They're going to keep it on the ground. You know, so I don't think there's going to be a lot of points scored, but I think, you know, they're going to keep it on the ground and be just successful enough, you know, to win. I mean, you only have to be 1 point better, right? And, Bob, I hope you're right. I hope Miss Angela has said
I don't think it's
going
to be a blowout by any stretch of the end. I think Southern Miss will compete.
I got a gut feeling.
Okay. Well, hey.
I hope I'm right.
I hope you are, too.
Yeah.
And then Southern Miss would come home and prepare for its homecoming. Yep. Against hopefully.
I like the Golden Eagles in the next two games, guys.
Okay. We always like them, but it's
are we picking them?
Yeah.
That's the question of the hour. You know, are we going to pick them? My thing with the ULM game really just comes down to, is Southern Miss's offense good enough? And I just can't say they are right now, so I have to pick against them until they prove me wrong. Now, if they prove me wrong this week, they go out there and score 35 points, I might pick them to beat Arkansas State next week. But right now, they're not showing me anything on offense that has me confident that they're going to go into another team stadium and just run all over them.
And as much as the Southern Miss offense has struggled, Bob, here's what we have to go back to. This team shut down a James Madison team that put up 70.
They looked good again last night.
On North Carolina. They put up 70. You know, and Louisiana Monroe shut them down. So an Eagle,
I don't argue with you.
Yeah, an Eagle offense that has been struggling.
See, that's kind of what I sense, though. I kind of sense a letdown on Monroe's part. Oh, we just beat James Madison. Man, we are good. And we got this 1-4 Southern. It just seems like a trap game.
I agree. Just James Madison?
Huh?
Just James Madison?
James damn Madison.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
they were damn Madison again last night. Boy, yeah. They put it on Coastal, didn't they?
Yeah, and
I think the question is Coastal's ever going to muster up and actually play a good game against James Madison? That should be like the fourth year in a row that James Madison just wiped them off the field in what was supposed to be probably a hierarchy of the West over there.
So I think both of the divisions are still kind of wide open, too. I don't think there's a prohibitive favorite on either side of the ledger, the East or the West.
I mean, when you look at the standings, can you just believe that UL Monroe is number one
in
the West?
It's pretty hard to believe, isn't it?
Yeah, and if they were able to take care of Southern Miss, they'd go on the road to South Alabama, go on the road to Marshall. You know, you take your bets there, hosting Texas State. In a couple of weeks.
For a potential berth.
Who did you say is in the lead? I didn't
Monroe.
No.
In the standings.
Who is that?
Somebody with a press pass.
And a parking pass.
And a parking pass.
I was going to say that.
You'd be right.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, Genesis of Hattiesburg, the official auto dealer of the Eagle Hour. Their sedans and SUVs are absolutely fine. So is their new showroom, Highway 98 West. You've been there, Kelly. It's beautiful, isn't it?
I have. They make me go in the back door, but yeah.
Yeah, well, that's pretty much everywhere we go on the road. Also, Mobe Beignet Company, 2902 Hardy Street. What a great place to go on a pretty night like tonight. Get yourself a good coffee. And
when are we
doing
the beignet challenge? That needs to be coming up soon.
Well, you know, Luke Johnson absolutely humiliated Kelly doing that a couple of years ago. Would you be willing to take him on?
Oh, yeah.
What do you think?
That's like the one donut I can eat.
You up to it?
I'm always up for a challenge. especially where food's involved.
Will you perform a little better? You were really embarrassing with the thing with Luke. Luke just curbs.
I'll never forget the picture of it. It looked like Kelly had just come out of a snow globe.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I was at Rick James's house for a party.
Well, you knew Luke was serious because... Because he showed up with garbage bags, man. He had garbage bags all over his body. Luke Johnson, he didn't play. All right, Will East joins us every Friday. We talk high school football. Forgive us for that mindless interlude there, Will. We sort of drift away from time to time here. We'll have to send you the picture of Kelly after Luke slaughtered him in the beignet eating contest last year. It was really sad.
Yeah, the powder got a little bit out of hand, literally.
All right.
I saw him dicing it up. It was interesting.
All right. Will, I heard you talking to the guys during the break. The real games crank up tonight, don't they?
Yeah, it's a regional play or district play, whatever you want to call them. I think they're officially called regions, but everybody still calls them districts. But yeah, these are the games that count. You could go 0-4, 0-5. In non-regional play, but when regional play kicks in, these are the games that count towards the playoffs. And this is usually where the rubber meets the road. We see a lot of teams every single year that start 4-0, and they're blowing everybody out. And boy, they're just doing so great, and everybody's talking about them. Then they hit regional play, and they lose 2 or 3 games. Or the inverse. You go 0-4. You might go 2-3, something like that, and then you hit regional play, and you hit your stride, and that's You see that a lot of good teams will often do that because they're playing tougher competition in the non-regional games, and it kind of sharpens that edge for them as they hit regional play. And when regional play starts, they're used to better competition, and so they play better. But I'm going to tell you what, guys. I don't think I've ever said this, but the game of the night, and it's not even really close, is between two academy schools. I'm not sure that there's another game in the state that I would rather be at tonight. Now, I'm going to Tupelo tonight, and I think I'm going to watch Tupelo play on that beautiful blue turf of theirs. But if I had my pick, I would be at this MRA Hartfield game. Last year, it was an incredibly good game. It was Hartfield's closest game of the year. They went undefeated. It was 56-42, something like that. I can't remember the exact point total, but it was a close game. But a lot of offense. And Hartfield Academy, and let me give some kudos to the prep schools, because in years past, you would have, for instance, Jackson Prep won a lot of state championships in a row, but their competition wasn't that great. They might play a public school occasionally, and if they had a loss on their schedule, usually it was because they played a public school. Things have changed dramatically. Hartfield is now a powerhouse program, and I'll explain why in just a moment. MRA has certainly become a powerhouse program. Jackson Prep is still really, really good. Last week, Jackson Prep, of course, beat defending 6A state champ Wes Jones. I mean, that was incredible. And then a couple weeks ago, of course, we had MRA blowing out Oak Grove, the 7A, defending 7A state champ. Pretty incredible. And those are two of the teams. The third team in that triumvirate is Hartfield Academy. Guys, Hartfield Academy is stacked. I think they could probably beat any 7A school that they play right now. They have not one, but two SEC commits on their defensive line. They got a guy who's committed to Alabama, who's about 6'3", 300 pounds. They got a guy committed to Arkansas on their defensive line. They've got a 4-star at safety who's a junior who everybody from Alabama to Notre Dame is after. Hartfield is really good. Well, tonight they're going to be playing MRA, that team that beat Oak Grove a couple of weeks ago. And, guys, this is the game to be at. Hartfield, by the way, have outscored their opponents this season 395-27. Their closest game was a 42-point win. Wow. That's the closest anyone's come to Hartfield this season. It's just really incredible how much things have turned on the private side.
Well, before we get to some of these other games, I want to ask you, because PCS, Presbyterian Christian here in Hattiesburg, of course, is leaving the MAIS after this year. But the private schools are allowed to offer scholarships and so on, as it were, to, you know, they can bring players in from really anywhere. When they joined the MHSAA, and I might be throwing you a curveball here, and I don't mean to, but are there provisions that the private schools have to follow because of the fact they can really bring in whoever they want, because the public schools can't do that?
I honestly don't know. My wife works at a large private school that is actually part of the MHSAA, so they're kind of what PCS is going to be.
Okay.
And I don't know if they can do football-only scholarships. All of their scholarships are academic or need-based. So that's a question I really don't know. You'd have to delve a little bit deeper into that. But, yeah, you're right. That is a big advantage that the private schools have, is that, and that's what's happening. That, you know, Hartfield, that's what's happening, is that they're able, and they're putting more, and I'll say this too, this is probably the bigger factor, is they're putting more emphasis on it. For years, Jackson Prep really put emphasis on football, and it paid off on the field. They had Ricky Black as the head coach. They put emphasis on it, whereas other schools probably didn't. Hartfield really is. You go out to the – I drove by there yesterday. They are out there building. They're wanting to win. They're wanting to show how great their school is, and it's showing up on the football field. And same thing, I believe, for MRA. The other big game tonight, guys, is Madison Central traveling to Tupelo. Like I said, I'm probably going to stop by that game. And I don't know if you've ever seen Tupelo's turf, but it's kind of like Boise State's. It's blue, very blue. In fact, when they had their opening ceremony, I had a friend of mine who was at the ceremony, and he said a bird dove right down into it and killed itself because it thought it was water.
Yeah.
That's how blue it is.
That's no. They've had that problem in Boise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I'm
sorry.
I find
it distracting. It gives me a headache. I probably won't, if I go to this game, I probably won't stay long, but tonight they're going to be playing Madison Central, an old foe of theirs. And Madison Central has probably one of the better defenses in the state. They're 4-1. Their only loss was to Brandon, a team that they held to 21 points, which for Brandon, that's pretty good. But Tupelo is now your new number one in the state. They're 6-0. They were number one last week, and they won, which is saying something, because every time somebody's been the number one team in the state, they've subsequently lost the next game. Well, Tupelo beat West Point, defending 5A state champ West Point, 35-14 last week. They've got this running back by the name of Jaden Hill, who's already close to 1,000 yards of offense this season. And he already has 17 touchdowns. Kind of tells you how good Tupelo's offense is this year. And the thing that coaches say about Tupelo this season is that they are so big. They are a physically intimidating team because they are so large. I once had a coach tell me, he'd say that players go into slumps all the time, but size and speed usually don't go into a slump. And when you've got both, you're going to have a chance at winning just about any game. So that's Madison Central at Tupelo. Again, this is regional play. And then the other big one, I think, is Germantown at Starkville. Germantown is 5-1, although they played a little bit lighter schedule. Starkville, meanwhile, 5-1. They had that one loss to Louisville, which was a one-point loss. I think they're going to start kind of hitting their stride here in a little bit, although they have a very difficult schedule. They got Tupelo, Madison Central, and Clinton. But tonight they're going to have Germantown at home there in Stark, Vegas. And then, of course, in y'all's neck of the woods, the big game tonight is Brandon at Petal. Brandon, up-tempo offense. They had that one loss that was insane to Clinton, where they had 22 penalties and 270 yards or something worth of penalty yards. Outside of that, they've been great. Tonight, playing Petal, you know what you're going to get with Petal. They lost to Picayune, last week or 2 weeks ago. They're going to run the ball a lot. They're going to play tough defense. The thing for Petal, though, is in this game is, can they adjust to that up-tempo, fast offense of Brandon's? Teams that do it, like Madison Central, can hold them in check. Now, Madison Central lost that game, but they held them to 21 points, which for Brandon, that's doing something. But teams that adjust to that crazy offense of theirs, those are the ones that can have success. And Petal's going to have to really step up. And it's so different from every other high school offense out there.
I wanted to ask you about West Jones, and because they've been doing a lot of good things in the beginning of the season, they're a historically good program. They just got walloped last week by Jackson Prep. And were you surprised by that score? I know that you've talked about how the private schools have just been a real surprise this year. They're on the road at Terry tonight, which is a seemingly winnable game for them. But what were your thoughts after that game? Because I know it was a big game last week when we were talking with you.
I was not as surprised. In fact, I went on Sports Talk after that, and I predicted that Jackson Prep would win the game. And a lot of that was just based on seeing Jackson Prep and then realizing that, hey, these private schools have really stepped up their game. Some of them play different style of offense than a lot of these teams are accustomed to playing. You know, a lot of these teams, they don't throw the ball very often. So when you face a team that throws the ball a bunch, it's a shock to the system. And I think sometimes that's what happens in some of these. But West Jones is going to have to rebound. They play Terry tonight, but Jackson Prep's a really, really good team, even though, again, they're playing academy ball. I think they can go toe-to-toe with anybody.
All right, Will, we really appreciate your input each and every Friday. I agree with you on the blue fields. They're horrible, by the way. thanks, man. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, man.
All right, Will East, everybody. We'll be right back.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
The Eagle Hour, Southern Miss to the top.
If you could only hear what goes on during the breaks around here sometimes with Kelly Center in the studio. This segment is sponsored by, I'm sure you can imagine, D-Bat on Hardy Street.
We're just glad
poor Dima, he can hardly compose
himself. He's still laughing. We're just glad the FCC doesn't have a...
You have totally ruined this fine young man. I mean, he was such a good kid when he came
He's been
here.
Laughing for 2 minutes over here.
Oh, goodness.
D-Bat on Hardy Street, where you can take all your children for baseball and softball training. You can meet Luke Reynolds. That'd be worth going down there just to do that. D-Bat on Hardy Street, we really appreciate all they do for the Super Talk Eagle Hour. All right, Dima, save us. Hit news and notes, please.
Well, the news is that I will not be joining us for the next. No, I'm just kidding. All right, so Southern Miss. Sorry. Southern Miss soccered. Kelly, they were down two goals with 5 minutes remaining in the contest, and they scored two goals to tie the game against Marshall 3-3. Women's soccer 3-3 tie against Marshall, which I get it. It's good they didn't lose, but why in the world are we still tying in sports in the 21st century?
And honestly, I think that's one of the reasons that some that might be apprehensive about picking up the love of soccer is because of the ties.
Like, you know? Why can you tie in a sport? It just doesn't make any sense.
Why play?
It's just stupid.
The truth is out there.
What is going on now? All right. This show's off the rails. All right, here we go. Southern Miss volleyball. Close loss to Louisiana. They lost in a 5-set match. But a lot of Southern Miss players posted career highs in the 5-set loss to Louisiana, and that was led by Sadie Makeda, who led the Golden Eagles with 24 kills and 30 digs. That is her both a career high for both of those for her. They battled. Makeda had a standout game again, as I said, 24 kills. She and Shepard, Hayden and Hayden Riddle, all outpaced the Golden Eagle offense. Shepard had 30 kills. Riddle had 32 assists, and Lothar had a career high 15 digs. So really good for the Southern Miss Lady Eagles volleyball team. And for all of those who don't watch volleyball and all that seems like Chinese, all those stat lines, that's really good. 30 kills in a game is crazy.
What
24
is a
kills.
Kill? Someone tell me that. What is it?
Spike it.
Yeah, so you spike it and they don't return it.
Okay.
You know, but I've had a career record for digs this week on this show, man. I have been.
Yeah, you've been dug on pretty good. Yeah.
College football scores from last night in the Sun Belt. James Madison defeated Coastal Carolina 39-7 last night in Thursday night action. Two games from Conference USA had Western Kentucky handling UTEP. Scotty Walden, the former Southern Miss coach, is the head coach at UTEP, but Western Kentucky won that game 44-17. Louisiana Tech defeated Middle Tennessee 48 for Louisiana Tech, 21 for Middle Tennessee.
About Louisiana Tech, just prayers and thoughts to that young man who collapsed in the middle of that game last night. I didn't see any updates,
really?
But yeah, I turned it on just to check the score, and they were on like a 20-minute delay. They had the ambulance on the field. Mm-hmm.
What happened to him?
He was called for targeting, I think, and he got up after the play. It was like to his head,
fell back
and
down.
Then he just collapsed. right back down.
It's a rough sport, man. Yeah. Rough sport. Tonight in college football in the Big Ten, Northwestern travels to Maryland. And then a couple of games out west. Both teams from the state of Utah playing tonight. UNLV will travel to Utah State to take on the Aggies. And Utah travels to Arizona State. That's the college football.
Now, that's a fun football team to watch, Utah. Utah's an exciting football team.
New member of the Big 12.
Utah's the reason I was just laughing for 3.5 minutes straight on the break.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. He's terrible. I apologize, Damon.
I still have no wives. Okay. Ole Miss travels to LSU tomorrow. Now, I know this is a Southern Miss show, but a lot of big college football games tomorrow, including that Ohio State-Oregon game.
Penn State on the road to USC.
Washington goes to Iowa, another Big Ten matchup. Iowa
Indiana
State.
And Nebraska. Indiana 6-0 with James Madison's head coach. 6-0.
Kurt Cignetti.
Cignetti, yes. First time Indiana's been 6-0 in, I think, since the 80s. And they are hosting Nebraska. Nebraska's also 5-1. So that's a big game for the Big Ten.
Iowa State going to West Virginia, even though I went to Iowa State. That's a big game with the Big 12 ramifications. So tomorrow, man, a complete – and, of course, the big one in Monroe.
Right, at 4 o'clock. Is that right? 4 o'clock?
That's right, 4 o'clock our time. And if Bob Getty's hunch is correct, it's like Quasimodo once said, call it a hunch. Bob Getty thinks the Eagles may pull this off tomorrow at Monroe.
In case you haven't checked your calendar, it is Friday today.
It is. We get a little squirrely on
Has
Friday.
Has your brain problem ever been formally diagnosed?
No, I told you my mom dropped me. You know.
I think on purpose.
And my That's crazy.
And my parents never liked me, but you knew that, Bob.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know what they gave him for Christmas one year?
For my bathtub toys?
Yeah, they gave him a portable radio that you plug into the wall for his bathtub toy. And that was a definite hint, wasn't it?
And a toaster.
And a toaster for the bathroom to play with in the bathtub.
Well,
imagining Kelly in the bathtub makes me bleach out my brain.
Yeah, stop right there. You don't take bubble baths. Never mind. I'm sorry.
Yeah, but you'd be surprised
the
bubbles.
I'm sorry.
Oh, my word.
We'll be back 1 o'clock Monday. Maybe,
we might.
Maybe.
Will Hall may not show up on this show.
If the show is still on the air. Until then, Southern Miss.
To the top.
To the future. Slipping into the future. I want to fly like an eagle to the sea. Fly like an eagle, let my spirit carry me. I want to fly like an eagle till I'm free.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.